Yeah, God bless your radio audience. Evangelist Rob Wood here of Rob Woods Ministries. You can go to my website at www.robbw.com and let me get right into it today. God's looking for Christ to be formed in us. And then out of Christ being formed in us, Christ will be formed through us. And through us, the church can be formed. And in Galatians chapter 4, verse 19, Paul says, "My little children, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you." And, you know, Paul likened the process of Christianity, or Christ being formed in a believer, to the labor experience. Obviously, in the first trimester, the baby, the seed, is being formed in the second trimester, and then the third, and then the baby's being born. So as the baby matures in the mother's womb, the baby starts to take form. And that's really the way it should be. There should be a little bit more of Jesus in you every day. You should look a little bit more like Jesus than you did last week, last month, last year, 5 years ago. And Paul would say, hey, if you're still drinking milk at this point, and I can't give you the meat of the word, you're not matured to the point where Christ is formed in you, and you've got the palate, you've got the appetite to be able to digest the fullness of what Jesus is trying to accomplish in your life. Again, my little children, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you. In Genesis chapter 1, it says, In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void. Darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God hovered or brooded. So the Holy Spirit was hovering or brooding the same way a mother hen brood has eggs under her. She is sitting on those eggs so they can be formed and hatched. And that's what the Holy Spirit is doing. The earth was without form. It was without void. It started to take form because God had a destiny for man. God had an inheritance. In fact, in Genesis 2, verse 7, it said, "The Lord God formed man of the dust of the earth." And, you know, I love this. In the book of Jeremiah, the 18th chapter, verse 2 and 3, God takes Jeremiah down to what's called the potter's house, and he asks him a question. The potter is forming something in his hands. He has clay in his hands, and the potter says, "What are you forming?" And the potter says, "Hey," the pottery, which is us, "Can I not do what you as I pleased?" And it said the clay was marred in the hands of the potter, so he made it into another vessel as it seemed good to the potter. So, you know, there are what's called crackpots in Christianity. There we are crackpots. God, some of us are broken. Some of us have been bruised. Some of us have been hurt. But God's forming Christ in us. He's healing us. The potter is the one that can take the clay even after it's cracked and mend it and put it into that kiln where he turns up the heat and all the impurities come to the surface. So that's really how Christ is formed in us. It's sometimes through suffering and trials. Now, people don't want to hear that. Some may say, "Well, you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, everything's going to be great. He's going to be a rose garden in life." No, there are seasons of valley. There are seasons of testing. There are seasons of trials. There's even seasons of suffering. There are scriptures that actually back up what I'm saying, where there are seasons where God allows us to go through seasons of... In fact, it said the Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness. And what happened? 40 days and 40 nights, he was tested and tempted by the enemy. And you know the story. Jesus fasted. He was praying. And he was weak. And the enemy came to him, "Throw yourself off these rocks. Surely the angels will catch you. And eat this bread." And he was probably hungry. And Jesus comes back with the word, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." So he used the word of God to defeat the enemy. And then it says the enemy left him for more of an opportune time. Then it says Jesus left the wilderness armed with the power of the Spirit headed toward Galilee. So, yeah, there are seasons of the wilderness and there are seasons of testing, but hey, don't pitch your tent in the valley. You're not staying there. You're coming out. I'm telling you, thus saith the Lord, you will not dwell in the valley. You're coming out. It would be unfair for God to allow a believer to live consistently in the valley. In fact, most historians say what Job went through was a six-month experience. God allowed Job to go through that. Job was a righteous man. You know, the Bible says he was more righteous than any other man on the face of the earth. And the enemy came and said, the only reason why Job's serving you is because you put a hedge around him. But if you take that hedge away, we'll really see what Job's all about. And you know the story for many dozens of chapters. Job's going back and forth with his friends. His friends are blaming him. He's blaming his friends. But at the end, God gave Job double. And this is really how this is going to happen in this hour, is through grace and grace alone. You know, in Hebrews chapter 6, it said, he attained a more excellent ministry. He's the mediator of a better covenant, which is on better promises. So there's a new covenant. Now I want to ask you a question in this hour. Are you a slave or are you a son? Let me say that again. Do you see yourself as a slave or a son? Because a slave works and is driven for his father's approval. A son knows through rightful birth he is allowed to partake of the father's blessings. And you know, I believe that's why the prodigal son left. He didn't see himself as a son. Notice when the prodigal son came home, the elder brother said, I've been serving you all these years, but my brother came home and you throw him a party, you put the ring on his finger, you kill the fatted calf. I've been with you all these years, Dad. The father says, son, you've been with me. Can't you at least be happy that your son who was lost and away is now home again? We have got to get rid of the elder brother syndrome in this hour. If someone comes home to Christ, if someone comes home to Father's house, my God, we should throw our arms around him. We should throw a party. In fact, it said the father would often look out to see if the son was coming home. And this is key in Galatians chapter 4, verse 22. It says, for it is written, Abraham had two sons. And, you know, look, we know this story. God came to Abraham and Sarah and said, you shall have a son at the set time. You shall hold your own. And what did Abraham and Sarah do? They basically snickered and laughed. I mean, Sarah laughed. You know, and it says it came to the time where Abraham was actually past the years of being able to maybe inseminate his wife and get her pregnant. So this was an absolute faith walk. So Abraham has two sons, the one by the bondwoman, the other by the free woman. You know this story. Abraham takes matters into his own hands. He gets involved with the law. He's not trusting in God. This is not about grace no more. He's trying to facilitate and give God a hand. And let me ask you a question. Where were we really before Genesis, before man was created? We weren't even around to try and help God out. You know, God never needs our help. He just needs our cooperation. God just needs us to flow with him. The Holy Spirit needs us to flow with him as he initiates what he would want and desire us to accomplish in and through our lives. And let me finish this story. Galatians chapter 4, verse 22 through verse 31. Abraham had two sons, the one by the bondwoman, the other by the free woman. He who was born of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh. He of the free woman through promise. Which things are symbolic? These are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gives birth to bondage, which is Hagar. Now we, brethren, verse 28, as Isaac was, are children of promise. We know Isaac came at this set time. Abraham and Sarah gave birth to a son who was the promised son, not the son from the bondwoman, but the son of the free woman. This is what it's all about. This is the law versus grace. You see, the Lord says, if I do enough, if I give enough, if I pray enough, if I study the word enough, if I go to church, then I earn God's approval. Then God's pleased with me. But no. Grace says, you don't have to serve me. You get to serve me. It's a privilege. It's out of a relationship. And you know, I used to lead street teams in the years, evangelism teams in the years, and I almost felt to the point where, as if I don't go out in the streets and win souls, people were going to burn in hell. That I was doing it out of duty. I was striving. I was doing it out of obligation. Maybe I felt I would get aluminum siding on my mansion in heaven. You know, I'm cracking a joke, but the point is, we cannot earn through religious duty. We cannot earn God's approval. God accepts you just the way you are. He loves you. And if you never did another thing for him ever again, he wouldn't love you any different. You're his son. You're his daughter. You are purchased. You're bought with a price. Christ Jesus shed his blood on that tree. And it's the grace of God that enables us and gives us passion to serve him, not out of duty, not because we get to, but because we want to. You know, you don't have to go to church on Sundays. You get to go to church on Sundays. You don't have to win souls. You get to. It's a pleasure to work alongside the Lord as a minister and be part of his plan on the earth. In fact, you don't even have to go to heaven. You get to. God allows you through privilege to have eternal life through what Christ has done, and only through what Christ has done. And let me finish this. It says, now we, brethren, verse 28, Galatians 4:22, we're talking about Abraham had two sons, our children of promise. He was born according to the flesh, then persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit. What does the scripture say? Cast out the bondwoman and her son. We've got to get rid of this religious spirit that will try and come on us at times. We've got to cast off this religious spirit that some people are trying to work out their own salvation through their own strength. It's through the grace and the mercy and the righteousness of Christ. And, you know, righteousness is God sees us after we accept Jesus through the blood of his son. There is the gift of righteousness. If you don't open that gift up around the holidays, you don't receive that gift. You didn't earn that gift. Someone gave you that gift. It was a free gift. You've got to receive it with no strings attached. Now, what if someone gave you that gift and says, hey, now you owe me something? No. Salvation's free. Sanctification is the only thing you have got to work out. You've got to work out your own salvation through sanctification, which is a whole other message. But the gift of righteousness, the gift of grace, is because of the cross and the cross only. In fact, it's paid in full. You cannot add to the cross. Let's stop trying to put nails back into the hands of our Savior Jesus Christ and crucify him all over again. God bless your radio audience. I hope this message has spoken to you. The message of grace has literally changed and transformed my life, how I walk with Christ. It's out of a love affair and a love relationship. I hope you walk this walk out through the walk of grace in his strength, in his grace. Evangelist Rob Wood here. God bless you.